All right, all right. I love the line in that song we just sing, that it would be said about my life that I live for the glory of the name of Christ and not our name. At the end of the day, that's what this is about. One of the things that drew me to this network, that God used to draw me to this place that I find myself out today, were the values, and especially the one that we talked about, prayer and the word. If we're ever going to see this vision happen, if we have a shot of seeing this vision that's been placed before us happen, that has to be at the center of what we do. We cannot divorce ourselves from the power that's going to ensure that this occurs. And so that's kind of the most important thing. I was sitting there thinking this morning, I thought about a line that I wrote in a sermon years ago that I hadn't thought about in a long time. I was preaching on Revelation 2. And you see Jesus speaking to the churches, and he says, look, if you don't come back to your first love, y'all remember what he said? He said, I'm going to remove my lampstand from its place. I'm going to remove your lampstand from its place. The lampstands were a picture of the seven churches in the New Testament. And he says, if you don't come back to me, put me first, I'm going to remove your lampstand from its place. I'm convinced what he's saying is that if Jesus is in the center of what we do, he will remove his presence from among us. As I was studying that, I wrote this line down that the Holy Spirit, I believe, just gave me. That if we love our mission more than we love our Savior will have no part of our mission. And so that's it. Don't breeze past that. Be a pastor of prayer. Be a church of prayer and the Word of God. But then this value that we're talking about this morning, I'm convinced the core of my being is also crucial for the success of the vision that God has given us, and that is the value of think multiplication. Now, I figure you guys, if you're at Sin Network, then hopefully you already think in terms of multiplication. So for a lot of you in this room, this is going to be a review for you, and that's okay, but I want to spend a few minutes this morning, and I want to think theologically through the idea of biblical multiplication. Let's spend a few minutes and look at the Word of God and see what it has to say about this idea of multiplication. And I want to do that this morning so that you and I can re-engage our hearts and re-engage our minds, because in my experience, while we probably all know the concept, our minds have a tendency to, and our hearts and our actions have a tendency to drift away from the practice of actually doing it. So let's jump in. And I want to ask a really basic question this morning. What do we mean when we say multiplication? Let's just kind of start there. What do we mean when we say that? I wrote this down. Multiplication carries with it the idea that you as a pastor, your church as a whole, or your leadership team as a whole, you produce yourself as a Christian as a whole, you reproduce yourself in such a way that the people in the churches you reproduce starts to reproduce, and those people in churches start to reproduce, and through that act of multiplication, there is a compounding effect that grows exponentially and becomes impossible to measure. And so when I'm talking about multiplication, that's what I'm talking about today. It's you reproduce, and they reproduce, and they reproduce. It starts compounding, and you can't measure it, which actually is very biblical. We'll talk about it in a minute. So let me ask you another question here. Is this idea of multiplication, is this a man-made idea? Like, did we come up with that, where there's, you know, Vance and a bunch of cool pastors got together and thought, you know what we're going to do? We're going to start a movement, and this is how we're going to do it. We're going to teach people how to multiply. Is it a man-made thing? It's not. It's a God-made, God-designed, God-breathed plan. And it's not just any plan. It's not just any plan, but the multiplication of disciples and churches is God's primary plan to take the message of the gospel to the nations. And it's a plan that you see from the very beginning of Scripture all the way to the end of Scripture. As I've studied this, I've kind of been blown away by it, that it's you see multiplication all the way through the scripture. Let's start at the beginning, creation. You see it in creation right there at the beginning. You don't have to go far in scripture at all. You see it actually before the fall in Genesis 1, 27 and 28. Watch this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and, everybody say it, multiply. There it is. And fill the earth and subdue it. Y'all know what hit me? I've been in seminary a long time. I've never thought about this before. Very simple. But in the very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible, God creates man and woman in his image, and the very first thing he tells them to do is to multiply. To multiply. To fill the earth with the bearers of his image. Have y'all ever thought about that? That's the first thing he ever told us to do, was to multiply. And that was before the fall. But then you see multiplication after the fall, right? Post-fall multiplication. Adam and Eve, they messed things up. Things got bad. God looks down and he sees that the thoughts of man's heart were always evil continually. He says, I'm going to start over. I'm going to redo this thing. And so God sends a flood and he takes them out. But before he does, he tells Noah to build an ark. Noah obeys and builds an ark. They get in it. It starts raining. Eventually, the rain subsides. They walk out of the ark. And I want you to see what the very first thing God says to them in Genesis chapter 8, verse 16. Go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you, all flesh, birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply. There it is. Be fruitful and multiply on the earth. The very first thing God tells us in the garden, multiply and fill the earth with bearers of my image. The very first thing he tells his people after the flood, multiply and fill the earth with the bearers of my image. And then some time goes by. God starts to really put things into motion in this grand scheme of redemption. And he comes up to this guy one day named Abraham. And he walks up to Abraham and he says, Abraham, see those stars in the sky? Try to count them. It's like, Abraham, there's a bunch of them in there. Like, there's so many, you can't even count them. He said, that's what I'm going to do for your descendants. That's what I'm going to do for your descendants. Watch what he says to Abraham. Genesis 22, 17 and 18. God said, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as stars of the heaven and sands of the seashore. Theological question for you, Sin Network. When God said to Abraham, I will surely multiply your offspring, was he just talking about Abraham's physical lineage? No. We know that God was calling his shot. He was calling his shot. He was talking about a Messiah that would come from the line of Abraham, and through the Messiah, his offspring would be multiplied, and every tribe and every tongue and every nation and the entire earth would be blessed through him. Listen, God's plan, make no mistake, God's plan is a plan of multiplication. Now, listen, I'm going to stop right there because there's something that God says to Abraham regarding multiplication that I want you, as a pastor and as a staff and as a church leader, I want you to hear this. Because there's something God says regarding multiplication that I want you to hear, and I want you to never forget them. Here's the first one. God looked at Abraham, and let's see if you caught it. He says, Abraham, I am going to multiply your offspring. God said, I am going to multiply your offspring. I think that matters. He didn't say, Abraham, you need to go and you need to start multiplying your offspring. He says, hey, once you know something, Abraham, this is so important, I'm going to do it. I'm going to jump in. I'm going to make it happen. Why is that important? Again, God is saying at the end of the day, ultimately, God's saying, I'm the one that's going to do this. And then there's something else that Abraham, or rather that God said to Abraham, that I think is really important for us to remember as pastors and church planners and leaders in the church. I want to see if y'all caught it. God said a word two times that I think is really important. Two times God said the word surely. Did you catch it? Two times he said, surely. He said, Abraham, surely I will bless you. Then he said, surely I will multiply your offspring. I don't know about you, but the way I see it, if God says he's sure something is going to happen, then I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. Surely, surely. Here's my point. Here's my point. God is all in on this concept of multiplication. He's all in on this concept of multiplication because God is all in on his plan of multiplication. That means it's a foregone conclusion. It's going to happen. It's going to work. He will surely do it. So let's keep going. Okay, you see the idea of multiplication before the fall. You see it after the fall. You see it in prophecy. You see the idea of multiplication in prophecy, and I love this. This is really neat in my opinion. You know, as God spoke to the prophets, and he was revealing the future to them. Think about that. He was revealing the future to these guys. And when they saw what they saw, check this out, what they saw as they looked forward was all that the Messiah would do and accomplish, and what they saw was the finished, completed work of multiplication. Look at Psalm 22, 27. God spoke to the psalmist. He's seeing the future, and watch what the psalmist writes down. In Psalm 22, 27, he says, all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. Hey, did y'all catch that? All the ends of the earth will remember. And they will turn to the Lord. And he says, all the families of the nations shall worship before you. We need to remember that. As it gets difficult, as it gets hard, as people attack, as we get off track, we need to remember that as we do the work of multiplication, there is something we have to keep reminding ourselves. When the prophets looked forward and they saw the end, they weren't like, man, this is going to be really hard. Man, this is going to be difficult. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if we're going to be able to get enough people to sign up for this thing. When the prophets look forward to the end of all of this, here's what they saw. All the ends of the earth will turn to the Lord, and all the nations of the earth will praise his name. It's God's plan, and it works. But you don't just see the plan of multiplication, God's plan of the multiplication in the Old Testament. You see it in the age of the church pretty quickly. Actually, in the age of the church, Jesus dies on a cross. He rose from the grave. He ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. Watch what happens. Acts 5:14. It says, more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Acts 6:7. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. That's how you know God's moving, is when priests start getting saved. And then Acts 9:31, it says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. There it is. Y'all starting to see a pattern here. We see multiplication before the fall. We see multiplication after the fall. We see multiplication as the prophets look forward. We see multiplication all through the book of Acts. In the church age, as the church, Christ was born. And then finally, through the Holy Spirit, inspired word of God, we see multiplication in its completion. And Revelation, the end, the completion of the task, the mission is accomplished. There is something incredibly comforting about knowing that what we give our lives to, it works. What we give our lives to, we win. what we give our lives to, it cannot fail. And it's a promise to us right here in Revelation 7, 9 through 12. John the Revelator, he says, after this, I looked and behold. Matter of fact, just get this in your mind right now. After this, I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, worshiping God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might to be God forever and ever. Amen. That's the end. That's where we're going. That's the destination. And something hit me this week as I studied for this that I'd never really thought about before, but in light of Revelation 7, 9 through 12, do you remember what God promised Abraham? He says, I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and the sands that are on the seashore. The reason that God used stars and sand to paint a word picture for Abraham about the end result of God's promise of multiplication is because you can't count the number of stars. You can't count the grains of sand. I've tried it. You cannot do it. And so how amazing is it that when John saw the end, here's what he saw. He says, after this, I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one can count. God will be true to his word. He always has. He always will. Okay. Spend a few minutes here. I'm just going to give you a couple of concluding thoughts. That's the theological background of multiplication. I'm going to give you a couple of concluding thoughts today real quick, and then we're going to pray together. But here's kind of the first thing. We just spent 15 minutes talking about it, but it's something that I want you to like get ingrained in your DNA, deep down in who you are. Don't just hear this and move on, but like chew on it. Deal with it. Multiplication is God's plan. That's number one. That's like the first conclusion that I want you to take away. Multiplication, it is God's plan. It's his primary plan to take the message of the gospel to the nations. It's the multiplication of disciples and churches. And the more, check this out, the more I study the scripture about this, the more I am absolutely convinced that we need to stop looking at multiplication as some strategy that we may or may not do. But that we've got to start looking at multiplication as a calling that we must obey. And so if you plant a church or you pastor a church or you lead a church, the question is not, is multiplication God's plan? The question is whether or not you're going to participate in the plan that God says will surely work. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that one. I want to be a part of that one. Number two, multiplication requires intentionality. It requires intentionality. Noah mentioned that at the Austin Stone, we had just the amazing privilege to see God send over 300 people to be full-time missionaries to unreached people groups. At the end of the day, that's a work of God. He blessed us with that. It's not like he looked at us and was like, you guys are cool. He's like, it's just a work of God. I have no idea why he did it. We used to pray, God, would you do something so significant that when we look back on it, the only explanation for how it worked is, God, you did it. And he did. But as I look back at what he was doing in me, to get us to a place where that could occur, we were just intentional about it. I didn't mean to do it. I'm not smart enough. I'm not advanced. I couldn't have figured all that out. I just was kind of like, hey, we got to get on mission. We're going to love Jesus, and we're just going to go out there and do this. And I just kept telling them about it. And so when we gave them the opportunity, they did it. It was crazy. Got to be intentional about it. Because the natural bent of most churches is one of gathering and keeping, not sending and multiplying. And I'm convinced that's why so many churches are struggling right now. And so in order to become a multiplying church, to become one of, did y'all catch this right here? This is some cool artwork. I don't know who did this, Travis, but like churches planting church. That's it. That's the vision. That's multiplication. If we're going to be one of those, here's what intentionality looks like. Intentionality looks like from the very, very beginning, you define success. You define it not by how many people you can get to come to your church, but you define success by how many people you can send from your church. Intentionality means from that day forward, after you define success, then you measure success not by how many people you have retained, but you measure success by how many people you release. That's the measure of your success. Being intentional means that from day one as a pastor, and I'm preaching to the choir here because I stink at this, but from day one, you have the guts to say no to good people and good things so that you can continue to say yes to the main thing, which is worshiping Jesus and pursuing multiplication. Intentionality means that from day one and every day moving forward, you make the commitment that no matter what, you will commit every day, you and your team, you will commit every day to laying down the name of your church on the altar of the kingdom of God and his church. That's what intentionality means. And then who knows, God might blow his wind in powerful ways. Number three, multiplication requires collaboration. Multiplication requires collaboration. I'm not going to talk about this long. We don't have a ton of time left, but I just want you to hear that. We're going to talk about it more. It's crucial. Little side project for you. Go read the New Testament and see, like seriously, do this. And see if you can find anywhere in the New Testament where mission is being done only by one church. You can't find it. It's not there. Guess what? It's not there. First time I learned this from a friend of mine. First time we see the phrase sin relief is in the New Testament. Acts chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's all over the Bible. When you look at the New Testament organism of multiplication, it is one of collaboration. It's collaborative every single time. And so look, here's the thing. I want you to hear this. Like, we know multiplication works. We know it. It's God's plan. We know it's going to succeed. But guess what? You cannot do it alone. You can't. You can't accomplish that by yourself. Well, good news, guys and ladies. We got a whole room of people in here that you can lock arms with and do this together. Like, what if? I mean, I was thinking about it, like, this would be kind of cool. What if, like, at lunch, instead of just talking about whatever, you got to just group of guys together. Maybe like pray. Spirit, just lead me some guys. Y'all just come together. And ask the question, what would it look like for us to get together and plant churches together? What would it look like? How are we going to do that? What would it look like for us to figure out a way to start a residency? What are the steps that we're going to take today, right now, to become this, to step into the plan that God said will surely work? It's collaboration. Last thing, and I'm done. Y'all heard about that Asbury revival thing? Travis Ogle sent me some pictures of it the other day, and I got really convicted. I got super convicted. And you know why I got convicted? It's because I got the sense that God really wants to move among us. Like, that's what I took away from it. That God is, he really wants to do it. Like he's right on the edge. He's saying, I will jump in this thing and I will move in power. You know how I know that? Because for crying out loud, he's doing it through some Methodists. Because they're praying. Because they're hungry for God. Why not us? Come on, why not us? Why not us? I want it, man. I'm getting old. I preached 3 times on Sunday. 3 times. True story. Ask my wife. You see her. I couldn't walk the next day because my feet hurt. I'm getting old. And I told the Lord the other day, I was talking to the Lord, and I was thinking about those years from 2008, 2012 at the stone where, like, God was just moving. The Spirit was so thick to brush him away. His face, first chord hit, people on the floor, people's lives being changed, people going to the nations, people going to the University of Texas and sharing their faith. And it was just as close as I've come up to this moment in my life to being a part of a real genuine revival, and something just came out of me in that moment. I was like, God, would you let me be a part of it one more time? With whatever days I have left, God, would you let me be a part of it one more time? I don't know about you guys, but I want it so bad. I'm tired of playing church. And so, Teddy, come on up and let's do something real quick. I want you to bow your heads. And I'm gonna talk for like 60 more seconds, and then we're just gonna give you a minute to pray. Vance said something last night that I just thought was really, really good, really profound. He said, you don't really see the concept of commitment in the Bible. You see this idea of dying, kind of dying to our own agenda. And what's funny is I was actually like going to end this time today with like, let's have a little time of commitment when we commit to do this. But he blew that out of water. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to think through the cost it's going to take to die to your agenda for your church and live to God's agenda for multiplication. It's going to cost you. It will cost you, I'm telling you. And here's how you know if you're ready to die. Like, it's when you get to the point you say, if dying means that my best people leave my church to fulfill the calling that God has placed on their life, you say, Jesus, that is okay because you're worthy of my best. Dying means, it's when you get to the point where you can say, if dying means my salary and my budget decreases so that our church can give more money to church plants, that's okay because Jesus, you're worthy of a lot more than my salary. That's what it means. That's not easy. We clap, that ain't easy. Are you ready to die? It's when you get to the point where you say, if dying means I never become famous, nobody ever knows my name, I never write a book, I never speak at a conference, but Jesus, you know my name, and that's enough for me. You're heading in the right direction. What step is God asking you to take to step into a plan that he's been enacting from day one? I'm gonna promise you something. You'll never regret it. Never. And then we're all standing around the throne one day. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation, you'll be so glad you did. I want you to pray. Just spend a minute. We're not gonna take long. Are you willing to die? Are you willing to lay down the things it's going to take to lay down in order to step into God's great plan of redemption. I don't know, man. Maybe just put that yes right there on the table right now. Just go ahead and tell him, like, God, I'm in. I want to be on the winning team. I'm in. Here's my yes. What you show me. Oh, Lord, I know, God, that so many of us in this room would raise our hands and say, we are tired of playing church. Forgive us for pursuing our own dreams and not your dream. God, forgive us for pursuing our own plans and not your plan. Forgive us for pursuing lesser plans that will not work. Lord, give us the power. Give us the power. Blow the wind of your spirit through us. And God, I pray that a year from now, we would be hearing story after story after story of people saying yes to you. And they'd be multiplied. God, we ask all this because we want your name to be exalted in this network. But more than that, we want to be a part of your name being exalted in all the earth, that all the earth would turn to you in worship. Lord, it's an honor to do this. We love you and we praise you today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.